Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Now back to Nick and Cecil on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's Legends Week, powered by Siltahar Motors. And joining me and Nick Ferguson is the Broncos Ring of Famer, Sackmaster Simon Fletcher. Simon, how are you tonight?
I am well. How are you?
Very, very good. It's good to talk to you. Obviously, when you're talking about a guy that knows how to get to the quarterback, 97 and a half sacks, that was the record, by the way, for an awfully long time. You're talking about more than 20 years you held that record for the Broncos, still number two on the list. And the question I wanted to ask you is, when you look at today's NFL, and you look at guys that play defensive end slash linebacker, you were one of the guys at the forefront on this, and nowadays we call that an edge rusher. Were you one of the first edge rushers?
Yes, the term was invented after my arrival in the NFL. Before, they were just linebackers. But once I came along, you were an edge rusher because I wasn't covering snot in the backfield. I wasn't covering receivers. I wasn't covering tight ends. I'm just rushing the edge and going to the paycheck window.
Well, Simon, when you look at the fact that the Broncos have, you know, two guys in Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, Von Miller obviously, you know, broke your sack record, and you had a chance to kind of sit down and talk to him. When you look at what this team has as far as two bookends, what's kind of the limit for these two if the Broncos are able to keep them together moving forward?
Well, there are no limits. I think the two of them could conceivably get 42 to 50 sacks in a 16-game season. As you say, provided they both stay healthy. Because the year before, last year, when Chubb was healthy coming in as a rookie, he showed some amazing pass rush ability. And you know from your own experience, from year one to year two, man, the light goes off. You understand the game. You know how to regulate yourself on certain plays. I was so excited to see last year, and then Chubb goes down, of course. But that gave me something to be excited about, even in the midst of COVID-19.
Simon, one of the things we've heard about Von Miller in the last year is the idea that, well, you know, the sacks were down for 1 year, and boy, if he really needs to have Bradley Chubb to get the big numbers, maybe that means that he's in decline. Well, you know, when you had your best years, too, you had either Mike Kroll or Carl Mecklenburg or even both at times going after the quarterback, too. Great rushers need partners on the other side, don't they?
Heck no. And anybody that thinks Von Miller's on a decline needs to have their head examined. This kid owns the record. He did it in record time. And when you do an average per year for his career, he's the best we've had. People look for negativity in any form, but the teams that we faced last year weren't passing near as much, and the defensive scheme was different than he had played in the past. So I think to come out and just have a good year and get to the quarterback and inspire his teammates while doing so. Sooner or later, we're going to have to start giving credit to the guys that deserve it. Vaughn is, as I said to the Post way back in 2013, best pass rusher I've ever seen in orange and blue.
Well, when we look at, you know, football, it's a team game. And, you know, most people like to single out and say, well, this guy's better than the other guy. How important is it to be, you know, unselfish and be a team player when it comes to this great game of football?
Well, there are those who would say that Michael Jordan was selfish, but what I saw was a guy inspiring, motivating, and leading his team so that each of the guys on that team played well. I think they played better because they had that superstar on the field with them who gave them a little bit of added confidence. So it's not selfish. You can't be selfish in an 11-game sport like football. I mean, 11-man like football. How exactly do you be selfish unless you're the quarterback? Otherwise, you control absolutely nothing.
So moving forward, you know, Vic Fangio is expected to have this sensational defense moving into his second year. How difficult is it for some guys, kind of especially rookie guys, adjusting to the NFL? When you came in, you played right away. But for a lot of these guys, they don't come into the pro game understanding what it means to be a football player.
Well, I think the advantage they have is similar to what I had. When I came in, I was green. I knew nothing. I was slightly afraid of what the NFL would entail. But then, as now, you've got veteran leaders who understand the team concept, so they'll help those guys along. When they throw them into the fire, those guys will be there to keep them pepped up when they make a mistake and to give them pointers to make it an easier transition from the college game to the pro level.
We're talking to Simon Fletcher, Ringer Famer for the Denver Broncos. And speaking with the leadership, I mean, that's something that's been lacking around here for a while. Is that something that, you know, a guy comes into the league with those leadership qualities, or that's something that he now has to learn, or he can learn coming into this game?
Well, I think it starts with being able to lead yourself, being able to discipline yourself this time of year so that when the season rolls around, you're ready. But if there's no other motivation, man, to be able to play in front of your family back home, your former college and high school teammates, and some guys as far back as Pop Warner, I think the motivation is there. And if I played today, my motivation would be on payday. Dude, if I got one of these checks...
that's something that is definitely extraordinary, because the game has just drastically changed from when you played to I played, especially with the amount of money that the guys are actually making. But I know we're making, you know, a light humor of it, but what would have been like for you to cash one of those checks for like $11.4 million like Justin Simmons has, the Broncos gave him on this franchise tender?
I could have given up my night job at McDonald's. I could have been home with the wife and kids.
You know, it once again, it is amazing that each year it seems as though the money grows up for a lot of these guys as the salary cap goes up. But now we have this COVID-19 situation that you mentioned early on, and some teams are afraid to spend that money. If you were a player in this current environment, would you have been one of those players that said, well, I'm playing regardless? Or you would have been one of those players that are looking at yourself, your family well-being, and decided to opt out?
Well, I would be the guy who said, this is my job, and if my teammates will be on the field, I'll be on the field. During my career, I could have made a lot more money, especially later on, had I held out. But I wanted to be in training camp with my buddies so that when the season opened, I would be on the same page and in just as good a condition. Because regardless of how much money they gave me, I was going to find a way to blow it. So that wasn't my motivation. I want to be out there with the fellas.
You know, from the time, as what's worth noting, from 1987 on, you ended up starting every single game for the Broncos, never missing a game. And as you brought up with training camp, think back to all those times ago when it was in Greeley and it felt like it was 120 degrees and people actually did have to get back in shape because they had other jobs. And nowadays you have the still kind of the training camp, but these guys, the workouts are basically 365 days a year.
Well, if I was investing $500+ million in Patrick Mahomes, you bet I'd have his ass working out every day of the year. But I'm sitting in Greeley as we're speaking. I just finished having dinner when you called. Well, I almost finished. You interrupted, but I forgive you because we're friends. But in our training camp, I thought it was great for us in that we were removed away from all the distractions, whatever business you were in, whatever other job you had during the off season, away from family. And so it was us guys bonding, getting ready for that 16-game schedule, and hopefully it would go beyond 16 games. It was good for us to have no one to rely on for any type of support but the guys on that field come game day.
Now, Solomon, we often hear this thrown around, you know, in the NFL. You know, I heard it when I was coaching and also when I was playing, the culture of a team, right? You know, you play with some great players and on a great defense. I mean, what does that culture mean to you, and how do you establish that as a coach?
I think in Denver, the first thing that's established, and we've had a little bit of struggle with some remarkable improvement later last year. But the culture of winning has been in Denver I think since after the 77 season when they played in that first Super Bowl, I thought the culture of winning was present. And then Pat Bowlen, of course, during his tenure and his lifetime, he expanded that winning culture. And I think as a competitor, you get to this level and you don't want to be the guy to let it down. What I see in Coach Fangio, and I was a skeptic at first, but he's made a believer out of me. He knows what he's doing, and I saw a little bit of stamp of Fangio in this year's draft and free agent charges. I think fans are going to be tickled by midseason this year at the turnaround that our team will make in the first half, because it's a winning culture. You have a winning coach who has players now who believe in it.
Simon, looking back at your time with the Broncos, you did build that winning culture. You were a big part of building that winning culture. And as it stands right now, you're 36th all-time on the sack list. You were far higher than that at the time that you retired. Obviously, it's turning a little bit when it comes to the Broncos and their folks being put into the Hall of Fame. But when you look at that era and you look at your career, the teammates you had, do you ever feel like things were so dramatically overlooked in Denver that it's almost embarrassing?
I think we were a much smaller market then. And I think we had until probably the back-to-back Super Bowls to get the attention of the entire country and perhaps the world. And so that's to the credit of the coaches and the guys that were present during that time. When I think back on football, all I think about is the locker room annex and the celebration when we won and the encouragement when we fell a little short of all the guys to their teammates. And so whatever's going on today and went on then, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, because I'm looking forward to seeing a Broncos team in the next 2 to 3 years back in the big show on the final game of the season.
Simon, when you look back on your football process, your career, is there a moment that stands out to you maybe more so than any other moment in your career?
Yeah. And you know the moment. I think everybody in football knows the moment. You recall the night that Steve Atwater, our most recent Hall of Fame inductee, hit Christian Okoye?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, in the locker room, Jim Sacomano and some of the media guys from the network came over, and they wanted me to wear the mic that night. I said, you know, Atwater's having a good year. Let him wear the mic. Had I had that mic on, I could have laid on Okoye and pretended I made the hit. No. Everybody knows who did it.
Oh, my goodness. Amazing. Oh, that's tremendous stuff. Simon Fletcher, Broncos Ring of Fame, number two all-time on the sacks list. He had that record, by the way, for 23 years. So keep that in mind. That's phenomenal, too.
But I'm only 25, so I must have started early.
Yeah, you started young. You know, that's good. That's the prodigies out there. That's what they do, right?
Yes, sir.
Simon, it's so good to talk to you. Thanks so much. Looking forward to wonderful football season, and hopefully get to talk to you again.
Absolutely. Take care. Go Broncos.
All right. Thank you very much. Go Broncos. Simon Fletcher, number 73 in your program, number one in your heart, as they say. Terrific stuff from Simon Fletcher. That's an amazing interview. And, of course, all of the Broncos legends that we've had on Legends Week have been worth listening to. And we'll have another couple for you tomorrow as well. But a great opportunity to talk to Simon Fletcher. That was as fun an interview as we've had in quite a bit of time.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one, offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati, with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.